This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Hey, I'm Candace Lim.
And I'm Rachel Hampton. We're the host of ICYMI, Slate's podcast about internet culture.
And we want to help you make sense of the need-to-know internet stories of the week.
Consider us your internet historians of past, present, and future.
Of the good, the bad, and the truly unhinged.
From nuanced takes on stories we're all closely following to the ones you wished you heard about.
In case you missed it, that's ICYMI, the podcast that's extremely online, so you don't have to be. Follow and listen now.
BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hello, Jenny Murray welcoming you to this week's podcast for parents. Now, Michael Rosen's voice is not an unfamiliar one to Radio 4 listeners. He's the presenter of Word of Mouth. He's a former children's laureate. And I'm sure lots of you will have read his stories and his poems to your children. Well, his new book is called Michael Rosen's Book of Play, Why Play Really Matters, and 101 Ways to Get More of It in Your Life. Michael, you describe yourself in this book as an ad-libber, a chancer, and a blagger, and you say we all have those qualities. Do we really?
Yes. Everything I've ever known about people is that they have these moments when they improvise, think on their feet, blurt something out, try something out at a party, at a wedding, at a funeral. Yes, I think there's something pretty well in all of us that is like that. Yeah.
But why are there useful qualities when it comes to play?
Because play is about trial and error without any fear of failure. That's how I see play. A lot of things that we do, we either don't have much trial and error about it, or if we do something that is a bit gamey, I would say, in the gaming area, we do have a fear of failure. It's not bad. It's not bad to have a fear of failure in a sort of gaming situation because that's part of the fun of it. But the important thing about play is that it's open-ended, and if there are rules, then you're the one who makes them. So the idea of improvising and blagging and chancing it are really important in play because you have the sense that anything can count here. I could just work this out on my feet.
So what kind of things do you include yourself under the term play? I was quite surprised to find that you try to see how much of the dishwasher you can empty without actually breathing.
That's right, because we have these things around us, dishwashers, washing machines, front doors and all the rest of it, and these are all very rule-bound. They've all been created by the wonderful world of science. But for them, and you can treat these things in a very passive way, as if somehow or other they're there and permanent, and you have to do how you've been instructed to do it. But actually, all around us, there are things that you can play with. So I know it sounds weird. You know, kiddies will remember in the old days of very loud flushing toilets and chains. You know, could you get from the loo to the kitchen holding your breath before the loo stopped flushing? You know, things like that. Well, why do kiddies do that? Why do I go on doing it? Because it's to make the world more of your own. So you're not a passive receiver, but somehow or other, you make it part of yourself. So it's you treat the world as something that you can be active in instead of it's something that you receive.
What do we know about the idea of play, its origins as a concept?
I think we can say that when we look at ancient artefacts of one sort or another, when we look at some of the great scientific discoveries, that at the core of them is an idea that somebody had to play with possibilities, had to play with what was there. So, you know, there's an ancient flute that has been found, 30,000 years old, possibly more, and it's been made out of the wing bone of a vulture. So this is one of the oldest artefacts we have, and it's a flute. So just if we think, how would you arrive at the possibility of making what must be one of the world's first flutes if you weren't playing with the materials around you to find what could make noises that enabled you to make that kind of cally sound that a flute does? And it's got holes, so it's got, you can stop the notes on it. I mean, I just think this is incredible. It's thousands, tens of thousands of years old, and it could only have come about with play. If you think again to the the double helix and DNA, and you think, well, they had to play with things like pipe cleaners or to figure out how it was that you could replicate from one human being to the next. They had to work out. And we know Rosalind Franklin, Crick and Watson and so on, they worked out how it was, but it can only come with the mind being able to think of something in a playful way in order to arrive at what's the truth.
How easily do children play naturally? And I'm not talking about, you know, having lots and lots of toys to play with, but pretending things, dressing up and being different people. Does it come absolutely naturally to them?
I think it flourishes, put it that way, with our encouragement, and it can be easily discouraged if we tell children that they're being silly. So I think we can create an environment that encourages it. In other words, if you have an old clothes box and if you have things and you're not too bothered immediately as to whether the clothes go back in the box and so they can spread them out on the floor and create a mess in the room that my mother used to call a Monsieur de Monk, that you can pick it up and pick up a hat and drop it. And then in that situation, then I'd say between the ages of 3 and 9, children will do a lot of dramatic play. They'll also do it, of course, with whatever they've got, little a combination of dolls or Playmobil or whatever it is, any of these little people that they can play with and role play through it. And listening through the keyhole of my children's doors sometimes, you could hear them, quite handy if grown-ups aren't actually in the room, they'll start playing out, being the people in these little scenarios, in these plays that they create. And it's thought, we know, that this is incredibly important. You're basically reenacting the world as you've seen it and trying out what would it be like to be an ambulance person? What would it be like to be, a person in a traffic control or something like that? You're trying out these things, but also trying out those important things about your close personal relationships. And of course, that again, that's what play enables you to do. Try it out, see what it feels like. And also with children, to try out omnipotence, to try out what would it be like if you're bigger than yourself? What would it be like if you could run everything and be, you know, fly through the air?
Why do we tend to lose it as we grow up?
That's a tricky one, isn't it? I think it's because we're invited to be serious and productive. So we connect this word play with childishness. We've got these words that are pejorative about children. Why? We like children. Why do we have this word childish? And so we connect that idea, and then there's this sort of bit where you prepare to be productive, let's say it's secondary school onwards, and then you've got 18 to 60 where you're being productive, and then you're this sort of not very useful person post 60. So there's this idea that that's what's important. So on either side of it, and also of course in leisure time, that's unimportant. Now if you've got that hanging about, then play can seem like unnecessary, unimportant, an add-on, rather than if we treat human beings in a holistic way and say, well, it's all of you, your ability to play, to work, to be ill, it's all of you.
You're a big fan of what my mother used to call, rather pejoratively, dolly daydreaming, aren't you? Why?
Well, I think dolly daydreaming, or whatever you want to call it, reverie, we've got lots of words for it, haven't we? This is when we, if you like, chew over who we've been, what happened, what we would have preferred to have happened, and what we would like to happen. So this is powerful stuff. This is all stuff to do with how we really feel about ourselves. And that is a form of play, because you can sit there and say, well, why wasn't he there? Why wasn't she there? And then you can say, what would have happened if he, she was, right? And then, when I work with children, I work with the idea that you can harvest your daydreams. And that's a nice thing to do, because you can harvest them by drawing, by painting, by photography, by writing poems, by all sorts of things. When you harvest your daydream, then you, in a sense, you go one step further, because you put the play thing out in front of you, and then you can then speculate even more about it.
Just briefly, just two things that you would like to see a family doing when they've heard the words, oh, Mum, I'm bored.
Well, I would go towards word games, because I'm a wordy person, but some people do other things. So with wordy games, it's good fun to make up tongue twisters, because all you've got to do is find two sounds that are a bit alike each other, you know, sh and sir, and then you think of all the sh, sir words that you know, and then you see if you can repeat it. So that's one nice thing. Some people who've got the limerick in form in their heads, they can do that. But doodling is just a lovely thing to do. What way do you doodle? and then to colour in your doodles and then to swap round. Take your doodle, pass it to someone else,
Michael Rosen, lovely idea. Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks for having me, Jenny. Thank
with
you.
Us. And don't forget, we love to hear from you. It's where we get our ideas about the problems parents have. So let us know, send us a tweet or an email, and we'll use your ideas in the future. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, I'm Candace Lim.
And I'm Rachel Hampton. We're the hosts of ICYMI, Slate's podcast about internet culture.
And we want to help you make sense of the need-to-know internet stories of the week.
Consider us your internet historians of past, present, and future.
Of the good, the bad, and the truly unhinged.
From nuanced takes on stories we're all closely following to the ones you wished you heard about.
In case you missed it, that's ICYMI, the podcast that's extremely online, so you don't have to be. Follow and listen now.